stop spreading the news. Do, 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 do. I'm leaving today. Do, 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 do. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. I don't know the lyrics to this song. It's time for you, New York, New York, New York. Ta, 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 ta. That wasn't bad. Oh my God, the delusion. The delusion is real. Okay, hello everybody. I hope you're all well. Welcome back to Voice Notes with Jordan Teresa. Sorry, I'm just moving around all of my stuff so I can look at my podcast notes. How are you doing? I feel like I haven't sat down and spoken to you guys in ages. I mean, it's been since my birthday, but I actually forgot to upload that episode on YouTube. So now I'm like, oh, do I upload it anyway? Like, sorry, it's a little bit late. Like, my episodes will be a little bit muddled up, but it was actually one of the best episodes I'd filmed. I had a really, really good time filming my birthday episode. But yes, guys, I am back from New York City. New York! Oh my God, guys, I have so much to catch you guys up and tell you about. But first of all, yep, I'm going to say it. I look so good today. You know what it is? I don't do my makeup that often anymore because honestly, it just feels like an absolute fucking chore. Like, it takes me like an hour. It's an hour out of my day and it's like, do you know what I mean? So I don't do my makeup that often. Like, I do it like once a week, if that. So I hadn't done my makeup since I was back from New York. And first of all, coming back from holiday is such a disorienting experience. It's so frazzling being back from holiday because it's like your shit is just everywhere. To be fair, my flat is not as messy. Like, whenever I go on holiday, if either me or Lem go away, one of us, like whichever one's home, does like a big clean and tidy of the flat. So when I came back, it was clean and tidy, but obviously since like coexisting in it, it's getting messy. It's getting messy. But I can't remember what I was saying. Oh my goodness. Oh yeah. So I don't do my makeup that often. My makeup was like all over the place in the bloody like clear bag. So I took it on a cabin bag. But I finally got all my makeup in order and I did my makeup today and I'm feeling really good. I look really good today. I've got my makeup routine down to a fine art. Like, it's down to a fine art. And there's something about slicking your hair back, slicking it back into a really tight ponytail or like a tight bun. It just hits the spot. Like, I actually saw a TikTok that was like, we are going to see a comeback of like the messy bun, but it's going to be sort of like a more like, you know, that sort of, you know, that big Victoria's Secret, like the big bouncy hair. It'll be like a big bouncy, messy bun. And like, look, I get it. I think that updos when they're really big and bouncy look absolutely beautiful, but they take effort. Like, they look effortless, but they take a hell of a lot of effort. And there's something about just slicking your hair back. It's so easy. So yeah, I look really, really cute today. And today, what I am doing is, today is Friday. I've majorly got that Friday feeling. Fridays are actually meant to be my podcast recording day. But I obviously always procrastinate. And I usually end up recording podcast episodes on like a Sunday, sometimes even a Monday if we're pushing it. But honestly, I'm going to start recording them on Friday. I mean, I'm going to explain why I'm going to actually start recording episodes on Friday more often. But I'm in a great mood today. I've got that Friday feeling. I mean, I have to work over the weekend, but you know, I've got that Friday. Oh my God, what was that? What was that? Okay, I think it was just a plastic bag. It genuinely looked like a bird just fell out of the sky. So I've got that Friday feeling today. Today, after I finish filming this episode, my friend Susie is doing a vintage pop-up. So I'm going to go check that out and say hi. She did like a little launch for it yesterday, but I couldn't go because I was too busy sat in front of my laptop not doing any work. Guys, oh my God, wait until I tell you guys about my work. I can't tell how I want to do this. Okay, this is like overstimulating. Sorry, guys. I'm playing with the zip on my Carlsberg vintage sweater. Love. It was a magpie. Okay, salute magpies. Do you guys salute magpies? Always salute magpies. So I'm going to Susie's vintage pop-up today because I missed it yesterday because I'm trying to get this video that I'm writing over and done with. And then me and Jake afterwards, we're going to go out for some ramen, do a nice Jordan and Jake date. We're going to go for ramen and then we're going to come back to mine and we're going to have some drinks and we're going to have like a really fun, good time. We're going to play the Switch. Fun. Me, Jake and Lem always have a blast when we have drinks and Switch. We'll play Mario Party. Love Mario Party. Yeah, no, right now I uploaded my sorority talk video a week ago now and it has gone down like a treat. I just want to say thank you all so much if any of you guys have watched it or listened to it and gave it some love, even just the watch, it means so much. Like it's doing so well. It's a 1 of 10. If you don't know what that means, because I realize when I say it around like my friends who do YouTube, they're like, woo! And then when I say it around people that don't do YouTube, they're like, okay. So basically the way that YouTube works is that in the YouTube studio there, which is like the app for YouTubers, there is a ranking system within it. So when you upload a video, after 30 minutes, it will rank it based on how well it's done on the views compared to your last 10 uploads. So when your videos don't do well, oh yeah, I hate that bitch. I hate that bitch. Like it's the trenches. When you spent such a long time on a video and then you refresh it and it says 9 of 10, 10 of 10. But me and Jack were talking about it on holiday and Eleanor as well. You cannot have 1 of 10s without the 10 of 10s. Like, it's just a fact. But when I am 1 of 10, that's me and my bestie. Like, that is me and my bestie. And to be fair, YouTube Studio have changed because people used to complain about the ranking system a lot in terms of like creator mental health. I understand that like getting a low rank on a video sucks, and it is like, it's almost quite tormenting in a way. Like I remember the time when I had to re-upload a video and it was doing like 3 of 10 and then it tanked down to a 9 of 10. And this upload I posted after I posted my sex life videos, which did famously terrible. They did terrible on views. But I loved making those videos. And I remember I was sort of panicking a little bit because I was like, oh, fuck, like this next video has got to do well. And then obviously I had to re-upload it. And like literally I would just sit on that YouTube Studio app and just like refresh it. And like, it would just be like, it would go from 8 of 10 to 7 of 10, back to 9 of 10. It was actually torture. So I understand where people are like, oh, it's not good for creator mental health. But guys, come on, you got to admit, when it's those 1, 2, 3 of 10s, it's good. It's good. It hits the spot. But yeah, my recent video is doing so, so well. And I'm really, really happy about it because I worked so unbelievably hard on it. I think the script came to about 9,000 words. And I didn't even write about hazing. I remember I was going to, but I just didn't have the time because I needed to get it all filmed before I went to New York. So I didn't have the time to write about hazing, even though I really wish I did, because hazing is actually really, really interesting. Hazing is like, I mean, if you don't know what hazing is, it's like an initiation kind of thing, but it's often through like psychological and physical torture. Like it's actually fucked up. And it's one of those things where hazing has been banned in literally all colleges, all Greek life. Yeah, it still persists. And it's quite like it's tragic and awful because people literally die from hazing. Like people have died from hazing, people have been permanently injured, disabled from hazing. Like it's awful. But it's really, really interesting in a psychological sense because so much of hazing comes down to psychology. So like, why would someone, because when you've been hazed yourself, you are like far more likely to haze someone that's younger than you, because it's like, oh, if I had to go through it, then you have to go through it too. And even though to like someone who isn't within like Greek life, it's like, just don't do it. But I guess it's like, when you think about it in terms of just like basic human psychology, it makes sense why it seems to persist so often. So like something which I compare it to is that I'm just going to use secondary school as an example, but when you go to secondary school, when you're in year 7, which if you aren't from the UK, year 7 secondary school is like the first year of secondary school, you get tormented by kids in the year above. Like, oh my God, I had food thrown at me when I was in year 7. Like it was the trenches, it was the pits. And you then, when you get older, you're more likely to be mean to year 7s because older years were mean to you, because you're like, oh, well, if I had to go through it, then they should go through it as well. And it's like, I guess it's like a form of like grooming, like you're being groomed to treat people badly below you. And also it's like another thing to compare it to is a lot of older generations in the UK specifically, I'm not sure how it is in other countries, but in the UK there is this massive problem of older generations not wanting younger generations to like have nice things. So like, for example, even though older generations did get it a lot easier, is all I'm saying, but older, I mean, they went through some hardships, of course, but you know, you could literally buy a house for a fiver. So my empathy is limited. But yeah, no, so like a lot of the old generations where a lot of like MPs and like parties, they want to abolish tuition fees. And a lot of older people are like, oh, well, I had to pay tuition fees, so you should have to pay tuition fees too. It's a really, really difficult thing to like psychologically break. But yeah, so my sorority video went down like an absolute treat. And usually when I have like a really good like success of a video, I sort of give myself like, I'm still working, but I give myself like a week or so to like adjust and like feel out the video, feel out some ideas. I have a deadline for my next video. It's with Intermina, who I actually haven't worked with in a really, really long time. If you are like a long watcher of my videos, you know that I've worked with Intermina so many times in the past. They're like long-term partnership of the channel. I love their product. They do like period cups and stuff. And I didn't get to work with them for a while because my manager, when I signed off with my old manager, there was like an exclusivity deal, which I feel like is quite common for like talent managers and stuff. So if you don't know what an exclusivity deal is, it's basically like if I worked with Marc Jacobs, I'm using that example because my Marc Jacobs Daisy perfume arrived and I smell delightful. If I worked with Marc Jacobs and then I left my manager and joined a new one, a lot of the time there'll be a contract which says you can't work with Marc Jacobs for 6 months because technically they negotiated the deal. So it's their work. Do you know what I mean? So I couldn't work with Intermina for 6 months. And then when that 6 month period passed, they just like didn't have any like sponsors. They weren't really sponsoring at that time, but they're sponsoring again for Black Friday. Very excited to work with them. But obviously I got to like, you know, get a video sorted out really, really quickly. And the video is about like why fast fashion brands are failing. Like why ASOS failed, why Topshop failed. Is it a sign that we are becoming more, you know, ethically conscious, that we're voting more with our wallets, or is it just because Shein is such like a big competition? Honestly, it's like a mixture of everything. Obviously, I'm not going to get into it because I'm writing the video, but I don't know, maybe it's because I didn't give myself that time to like sort of cool off from the last video. And also I have just come back from holiday, that I'm just like sat in front of this video and I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I am just writing it and I'm like, this shit sucks. This shit's ass. Like, it's not hitting like the way that I thought it would, but it's okay because I'm filming it on Tuesday. I've got until Monday to like finish the script. It's going to be a short script, like 4,000 words. And I think I'm about 2,700 words in. And I want to do these sort of like shorter videos in between my longer ones. But also I think I need a researcher. Like, I think I need like, not like a full-time researcher, but I think I need like someone who like they're like, if they have a degree and like something related to what I do to like help me research my videos, because sometimes I'm stumped. Like, sometimes I'm actually stumped. But yeah, so that's what I'm doing today. I've been working on that video, basically been doing fuck all, like, if I'm being honest. I've got time, but I think I need that pressure. I think I need that like last minute pressure to maybe like get something out of me, you know? So I'm doing that today. Tomorrow I'm going to the Palestine protest. I'm going with some of my friends. I've been to two. I went to the one in Trafalgar Square and then I went to the one a few weeks ago. This one's meant to be a really, really big turnout. It's, I mean, all I'm saying is that everyone who's going, oh wait, it already would have been passed since the time I upload this, but if you are planning on going to a protest, stay safe, because the government have very successfully riled up a bunch of far-right and fascist groups by using really inflammatory language when it comes to Palestine protests, when it comes to Palestinian people in general. It's actually really, really awful. Like, I don't understand why I'm shocked by this government still. Like, do you know what I mean? This stuff never really comes as a surprise to me. But I think the government weaponizing, like, the government know what they're doing. They know that they're riling up the fascists. And it's going to be, you know, so it's, I'm hoping that nothing like bad comes of it. I really, really doubt it. They're always like overwhelmingly really peaceful. So I'm more worried about, you know, the far right groups and the fascists. But I think it will be okay. So there's that. And then my friend Cobby is throwing a little dinner party tomorrow. So going to go to that afterwards. I don't know what he's cooking. I think it might be jollof rice. Yum, yum. Very excited. Lots of us are going. I feel like I haven't seen mine and Lem's friends in a really long time. So I'm really excited. And then Sunday I'm working, Monday I'm working, Tuesday I'm filming. Hey. So what should we get started with? Shall we first talk about today's sponsor? Whoop, whoop. Today's sponsor is Lingoda. I've spoken about Lingoda on the podcast before, but if you are new here and you haven't heard of Lingoda, Lingoda is an online language school. So I've spoken a lot about how I want to pick up a hobby, right? I want to pick up a hobby that doesn't involve scrolling on my phone and just like rotting. because sometimes I feel like, do you ever just feel like your brain is on autopilot? Like, that's how I feel very often. I've mentioned on the podcast before that I have wanted to learn French for a really long time. Half of my family is French. My dad speaks fluent French. And I just want to learn French, you know? I just want to pick up a new hobby. And for me, French is like one of the languages which has, like, when I've gone to Paris and stuff and I've heard it, it's like the only language that is like quite like stuck in my brain. Probably because, like, maybe it's because I heard it so much throughout my childhood. But the thing is that I've tried like different apps and nothing really stuck. Lingoda differs from a lot of apps because they are an online language school and they specialize in a range of different languages, from English, business English, French, German, and Spanish, all from beginner to advanced levels. Something that I really like about Lingoda is that the classes are available 24/7, so you can really fit it around your schedule. So if you want to do classes before work, after work, on your lunch break, on your day off, there are classes going on literally all the time. You just have to go and book them in. Also, the classes are a really nice environment. I know that doing something like learning a language, especially when you're a beginner, can be so intimidating, but because, again, the classes are split up into obviously like beginner, advanced, with like a bunch of different class stages, you are literally learning with people who are in the exact same boat as you. The classes are very small. Usually there's about like 2 to 5 students a class, and the teachers, every teacher that I've had on Lingoda is extremely friendly, extremely accommodating. It's a very nice environment and it's a very immersive environment as well. And also you can look at the class notes afterwards to scratch up on your knowledge. I remember one of my Lingoda teachers said the best way to learn a language is to learn it on the day and then visit it 3 days later and then visit it 6 days later, and it will stick in your head. And that is really, really good advice. So I'm about to flex my French muscles to all of you guys. Don't laugh. Okay. Bonjour, je m'appelle Jordan. J'habite Londres. And you know what I love about, like, there's obviously like bonjour and then there's salut. My favorite one, because obviously salut is like very casual, right? So Lem could come in and be like, salut Jordan. And my favorite one is going, coucou Lem. I love that one. That one is so cute. And I'm going, coucou Lem. Obviously, there's the, you know, the basics. The ça va bien, merci. Et toi? Sorry. Guys, the way I thought that I was like eating up with my pronunciation because obviously like half my family's French, right? So I thought I had the, especially for someone, I have a very thick English accent. So I always thought that like my pronunciation was really good. I'll let you guys be the judge of it. And then obviously the one that I use all the time is je ne sais pas. Je ne sais pas. That means I don't know. Je ne sais pas. And also, obviously, these are all phrases that I use in my lessons so often is j'ai une question, which means I have a question. Doing like c'est quoi? What's that? So j'ai une question, c'est quoi? And then if I'm pointing to like, have I got a pen here somewhere? Okay. For the first time in ages, I don't have a pen anywhere near me. But if I had a pen, I'd be like c'est stylo. Sestilo. Guys, sorry, my pronunciation is eating. I won't bore you guys too much with my French progress, but I am making good progress. But what I like about Lingoda is that you can take the lessons at your own leisure. I am choosing to take the slow and steady approach, slow and steady. But something which really stands out to me about Lingoda as a platform is they do something called a sprint challenge. These are limited challenges. They only hold them for a limited time only. You can do the regular sprint challenge, which is 15 lessons in 30 days, or you can do the super sprint challenge. I know my friend Jack has done the super sprint challenge, which is 30 lessons in 30 days. And if you complete your sprint challenge, meaning you attend all of your classes, you can get 50% cash back, or you can get 15 class credits if you took the sprint challenge, 15 lessons, or 30 class credits if you took the super sprint challenge, 30 lessons. And you can use those credits to rebook another sprint challenge if there's one on. You can do it to rebook lessons. So basically, guys, sorry, it's a win-win situation. Not only are you learning language really, really fast, you're enforcing the daily habit of learning a language every single day. The Lingoda sprint challenge is just a win-win situation. You can literally use your class credits to continue your language learning journey. And currently, if you use the link in the description, Lingoda are offering 30% off sprint registration for Black Friday. Whoop whoop, Black Friday. And not only that, but Lingoda have very kindly given me a code to give to you guys. If you use the code VOICENOTES in all capitals, you will get 20 euros off your sprint registration alongside the 30% off for Black Friday. Like, guys, it's a deal that you can't pass it up. But thank you so much again, Lingoda, for sponsoring today's episode. And let's get into it. So let's do TV show I'm watching. Oh my God, guys, sorry. The autumn leaves are blowing outside my window. It is really, it's Let It Linger season. If you could return, won't let it burn. Love Let It Linger season. So TV show I'm watching. I thought I could talk about the TV shows I'm watching, and I could also talk about what movies I watched on the plane. Like, fun, let's switch it up. So TV shows I'm watching currently is, being as the clocks have gone back, obviously I'm going to do my BoJack Horseman rewatch. It's a lot, obviously. If you didn't listen to my last episode, Lem got me a BoJack Horseman concept art book for my birthday, and it's so cool. And obviously it's like reignited my love for the series. So yeah, I'm on I think this is my sixth rewatch, probably, maybe fifth, sixth. So good. I actually recommended it to my therapist. I said to him, it might feel like a little bit of a busman's holiday. And he was literally like, oh, I've been recommended this show before. Wow, I thought I was like, I'm literally like every other bitch, like, but yeah, so I'm rewatching BoJack Horseman. I did watch the new series of Love is Blind. See, I liked it. I love Milton. I think Milton is hilarious. Milton is like one of my favorite contestants. I didn't watch it like super, super closely, by the way, but I do like Milton because I think he has that very dry British humor. And I like that. I like that dry British humor. But yeah, no, so I watched Love is Blind, and I think I struggle to watch reality shows where just very obvious bullying is taking place. Yes, I'm talking about the bald Mormon. Is it a Mormon? Was he a Mormon or was he a Jehovah's Witness? The bald Jehovah's Witness and his horrible wife, who they didn't even get married. Was her name Stacy? I can't remember his name. But he was the bald bitch that was a Jehovah Witness. I like that level of bullying, the way they treated Johnny. Also, when I found out that Johnny kissed him, like afterwards, him and Johnny got together, but then it didn't work out. At first I was like, ha, 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 ha. to his girlfriend, to his ex-girlfriend. But now I'm like, Johnny, how can you get with someone that spoke to you like that? Whatever, maybe she's on her own personal journey. I just really, really struggle to watch shows where bullying takes place. It's really fucking hard to watch. And seeing Stacey, what the hell is her name? Stacey and that bald bitch, like, be so just callous and vile with their bullying. I just could not. But I watched Love is Blind, and then on the plane, let's talk about the movies I watched on the plane. So on the way there, I decided to watch After Sun. Big mistake. Big mistake. I was like crying the entire time. After Sun really hits when you have a fraught relationship with your dad. Especially when your dad used to take you on holiday. Like, it was so nostalgic, the movie. Like, she got the going on holiday experience with your dad, like, nailed down to a T. Yeah. So my thoughts on Offset, amazing movie, amazing movie. I think I gave it 4 stars on Letterboxd. Very, very good movie. All the performances in it are really, really good. Very nostalgic. Just a really, really good movie. But I mean, it made me realize, like, I don't know. I guess anyone else that has, like, a bad relationship with their dad, not for me to, like, get into it. But me and my dad, we used to have a really, really bad relationship. Now it's like neutral. But I think, sadly, the reason why it's neutral is because I don't spend a ton of time with him. Because I think if I did, then it would go back to being bad. Do you know what I mean? I think, unfortunately, our relationship was really bad because I was trying so hard for it to be good. And I think that sort of made it worse. And then so many of my emotions were, like, invested in it, which, again, in turn made it worse. Now that I've taken a step back and, like, accepted our relationship for what it is and, like, stopped trying to make it into something which it will never be, now it's, like, a lot better. But, like, it is sort of, like, in this, like, neutral sort of standstill kind of position. But I think that's probably the best that it's going to be. And I know that sounds really, really sad, and it is really sad, but, like, I don't think about it too often. But I think something which is a struggle when you have a bad relationship with your parent and then you also don't see them very often is, I think that you sort of, like, fail to humanize them. Like, I think I very often forget that my dad is also a person. It's very, very interesting. I think in general, people forget that their parents are, like, human beings, because, I mean, with my mum, like, especially with, like, your mother, for example, you are an extension of them, basically, for, like, the first 5 years of your life. And I'd probably say for, like, the first, like, 10 years of your life, your mum is your world. Like, your entire world revolves around your mum. And I think, in a way, that because they are above everything, like, you know, you call your parents mum before you, and or dad before you even know what their real name is. And I think that something which, again, I sort of struggled to humanize my dad, but, like, watching that movie did sort of make me realize that my dad is a complex human being, just like me. He has the same complex emotions as me, and he probably just wants to find happiness like everyone else in this world, and maybe I should cut him a little bit of slack. I was fucking realizing things on that plane. But that movie was really good. And then I watched, like, an hour of Bullet Train, and I did not enjoy it. I just thought it was, like, one of those movies where that type of sort of satirical kind of movie is very overdone already. Like, it's become quite dated very quickly. I think sort of, like, after the success of, like, Deadpool, it, like, became very dated very quickly. But yeah, so I watched, like, an hour of it, and I didn't really enjoy it. So then I switched it off. And then I rewatched Blackberry, which I've recommended before. It's a movie about how they made the Blackberry phone, and it's really, really good. I gave it 4.5 on Letterboxd because I think it's so good. I think, unfortunately, they do a thing where they sort of, like, blame, like, Chinese manufacturing on like why some things are bad quality. And I'm like, all right, not always. Like, come on. Like, you could get badly manufactured things absolutely everywhere. But yeah, no, so I watched that movie. And then on the way back, my flight back was like an absolute delight. Apart from when I got the subway, I don't know. So I had to leave at 6 a.m. Sorry, guys, my laptop is like making noise. I had to leave at 6 a.m. Because my flight was at, I think it was at like 9:15, my flight. So I had to leave at 6 a.m. And I don't know, there's something about like getting up and out really early in the morning before, this is TMI, before you can do your morning poop. It's just off, it's already quite anxiety inducing. So I did like a little bit of my morning poop, but it wasn't like, you know, my normal morning poop. And then when I got the subway to JFK, I was like just anxious the entire time. And then when you get anxious, you got to use the bathroom, you know, and I mean, I was okay in the end, you know, but yeah, it wasn't an enjoyable journey back, but my plane journey, delightful. We were on like some special gust of wind where my flight was only 5.5 hours, which is just nuts. 5.5 fucking hours to get to New York. And you know what? I've got to get used to these long haul plane journeys because I am flying 12 hours to LA in December. I'm excited, but like the thought of the flight is making me feel sick. Because I just hate sitting down for a really long time. I get really fidgety. But yeah, no, so the flight on the way back was like a delight. And then I always buy Wi-Fi on the plane so I could message Lem and let him know how I'm getting on. But on the way back, I decided to watch Babylon. Why is it the best movie I've watched of the year? I cannot believe still that it tanked so hard critics-wise. I thought it was genius. I thought it was so good. I thought the score amazing, the acting amazing, the storytelling amazing, the sequences amazing. I thought it was so fucking good. I'm so mad that it got so like panned by critics because I just thought it was fucking genius. Like, I actually thought it was genius. I really, really enjoyed it. And I think something that I really liked watching about Babylon was that you could tell that it was made by someone who loves movies. Like, it just seemed like a love letter, like a critical love letter, but a love letter nevertheless. And I really, really enjoyed it. Yeah, no, so obviously I was like texting Lem, pausing it every now and again. Had a lovely meal on the way back as well. Like, I had a delightful plane journey back. And then when I landed, because I took off at 9 a.m, when I landed 5.5 hours later, it was like 8 p.m. And I mean, to be fair, I was thinking it was 7:30. Got in at 10, felt I did not think that jet lag would affect me on the way back. I did not think that jet lag would affect me on the way back, but it did. I was already jet lagged when I was there. And I can't sleep very well when I'm like sharing rooms with other people and I'm not like in my own home. So I was only really sleeping about like 4 or 5 hours a night. And also we were drinking a lot as well, and I can't really sleep that well when I've been drinking. So, and also like, also like I would wake up in the morning and then I'd be excited to text Lem so I wouldn't be able to get to sleep. Oh, ew! But yeah, no, so the jet lag didn't, like, I was jet lagged on the way there, and then on the way back, because I'd like landed at 10 p.m, I barely had any sleep the night before. Bear in mind, I wanted to get in early so I could get like a decent kip in. I ended up going to bed at 2 a.m. because we went to a drag show, guys. So I fell asleep at like 11, and then I set an alarm because I had a studio viewing the next day, viewing a studio, which was basically is going to be my podcasting space and my office, and also my filming space as well. So I set my alarm And I wake up at 2 minutes before nine. No, 2 minutes before eight. I'm so tired. Like, my vision is blurring. I'm so tired. But I'm like, all right, it's cool. I'm up. I fell straight back asleep, and I'd switched off all my alarms as well. I fell straight back asleep. I woke up 20 minutes before I had to leave the house for this viewing. I was like, fuck, like running around, and then I didn't do my morning poop again, and then I nearly pooped myself on the overground. To be fair, it wasn't that bad. I just had to go. Like, I just had to go. But I viewed the studio. Guys, I've got the studio. I've got the studio. Whoop, whoop. I have a studio. My move-in date's in December. So, and I'm not going to start filming podcast episodes there until February, because basically we're going on break again in January. I don't move in until towards the end, the back end of December. So yeah, you guys aren't going to see the space. I mean, to be fair, you might see it in a YouTube video actually. But you guys aren't going to see the space properly until February. But yeah, no. So basically I have a studio. I've like put the deposit down. Whoop, whoop. Yeah, no, I'm going to have a studio, and basically it is, to use as an office pretty much, and to film all of my stuff and to record all of my stuff. I think I just don't really love working from home. It's just, I just struggle to get things done, and I'm constantly making a mess, and I just like want to be able to like go to work. Like, it's one of those things that I didn't realize that I'd miss it so much until like it's been a few years now, and I'm getting like, I'm over it. Like, I'm really, really over this like slog, you know, this slog of working from home. And I know that I'm really, really lucky to be able to work from home, but I think I just want to get like out and about. But yeah, no, so I've got my studio. You guys will see it. I'll keep you guys updated with it. I've got to go shopping for the studio, not for like another month. Yeah, not for like another month. So I've got like loads of time, but I've already picked out some things that I want. I think I'm also going to get a new Mac, an iMac as well. Exciting. Sorry, I'm boring you guys with this, and this is meant to be my New York episode, and I haven't even spoken about New York yet. I'm obsessed with going on tangents. I literally can't help it. So, shall we talk about New York? I went to New York, and I want to talk about it with you guys. So, what I will say is that I had a really good time, and what I will say is that the energy of that city is just different. Like, I understand why people like spend all that money to live in New York and to move to New York, and I find like the energy of the city so motivating and like inspiring. And obviously like the experience that I had whilst I was there isn't like the experience of what it's actually like to live in New York. I was being a tourist, like, hello. But like, there is just like this energy in the city that I don't think is the same in London, even though obviously I love London. London is my home. But yeah, no, there is just like this sort of energy in New York that like everyone wants to be there. I don't know. I feel like I worry that when I sort of say this, I'm probably sound like majorly privileged. But yeah, no, there is just like an energy to the city that like I cannot describe. Like, it really is a magical place. Like, 3 days in, I was like, how to move to New York? It's a really, really magical place. And let me tell you guys about what I did. So I was staying in Brooklyn with Jack. I went to Domino Park a couple of times. First time was at night, and I just was not expecting to see the New York skyline. It was amazing. And then the second day was when me and Jack, we went to Trader Joe's. We went to Trader Joe's and we picked up some snacks, and then we went to Domino Park, and it was during a heat wave. It was 27 degrees. Global warming is actually mad. And we sat at Domino Park on a bench, looked at the skyline, and ate birthday cake ice cream. And it was like, because me and Jack, we have, our birthdays are a week apart, so we were just eating our ice cream like, happy birthday to us, we're in New York. Yeah, that was really, really amazing. I fear that like telling these stories is just going to seem like I I'm like just retelling the stories. I'm sorry if this is boring, but obviously it's like very, very exciting for me because I went to New York and then we went to the city and I think we were in Manhattan where we did like a little bit of mooching and shopping and went for something to eat. And like it does look like the movies. It looked like the fire escapes. It looks just like the movies. I felt like I was in an episode of Girls. And I felt like I was in an episode of Broad City as well. Love. And then I also, the fried chicken in America is just different. It's so much better in America than it is in the UK. You will not catch me dead in a UK chicken shop anymore. You will not catch me dead in a UK chicken shop. The chicken in America, the fried chicken, so delicious. I also was tipping everybody 30% no matter where I went because I was genuinely terrified of getting the tipping etiquette wrong. And then on the Friday, we all went to we all went to Pitbull. Let me tell you, the drinks in New York are so fucking strong. Like, they are lethal. They are absolutely lethal. And I got absolutely rat-assed at I got absolutely rat-assed at Pitbull, but it was Pitbull. It was Enrique Iglesias. It was Ricky Martin. It was the trilogy tour, and it was such a good laugh. Like, it was so much fun. And before then, we went to Margaritaville. Yep, we all wanted to go to Margaritaville because of Eddie Burbank's video where he went to every Margaritaville in the country. And honestly, like, I understand why his mental health was on a tether, because look, it's a fun little like novelty thing, and also the margaritas there are good, but it was like a fun little novelty thing. But then I was like, oh my god, imagine going here for like a month, because the food is not that good. We got like these nachos, which were like bang average. Jack got an enchilada that he said he actually really enjoyed. And what was funny is that, so we went just us four on like the night of Pitbull. Sorry, guys, I don't think you realize how much of a spiritual experience it was to get to Pitbull. Pitbull comes on and he starts with, "Don't stop the party." No, guys, it was different. It was actually different. Like, I cannot even describe how amazing it was. Sorry. It was like spiritual. It was spiritual. But what's funny about being in the Pitbull concert is you realize like how many of Pitbull's verses that you don't really know, because obviously he has so many features on things and he was doing all of the features. Like, he was doing Timber, Get on the Floor. And then when it gets to his verses, we're sort of like, love you, Pitbull. And then the funny thing is that we went to Margaritaville 2 days later again because we were hanging out with Madison, and Madison really wanted to go to Margaritaville. And it was so funny because Jack's friend Dustin was like, "Are you in Margaritaville again?" Because he had Jack's location. The Margaritaville in Times Square as well. But I'm pretty sure they're shutting it down, aren't they? I don't know. But yeah, no. So Margaritaville, I understand why Eddie Burbank's mental health was hanging on by a thread. Because Margaritaville, it's interesting. It's interesting. Went for a free tequila tasting as well. In the Margaritaville. Oh my god, sorry. Oh, really made me laugh. And then on Saturday, Jack had a party. Me and Madison, which you saw in my last episode, we went as Wallace and Gromit, and we won the costume contest. We won! Madison shook ass so hard, the floors were shaking. The velocity of her ass, I'm still not over it, and that is why we won. I have it all. I have Madison to thank for that. But yeah, we won the costume contest. And then on Sunday, I just did a little bit of work. Monday, we walked on the High Line, went to Little Island, which was really pretty. It was a little bit overcast that day, though, so we couldn't really see, like, everything. And then obviously went to Margaritaville again. And then, oh my god, I cannot get over the size of large drinks in America. And I know that's such a like a cliche British thing to say, like, oh my god, the food here, the portions here are so huge. But they really are. Like, seeing that massive, I got a medium and he accidentally gave me a large, like a large Coke, or it was a Pepsi or something. And this, it was bigger than my fucking head. I could not believe it. But yeah, so we did that. And then on Tuesday, I had to stay in and do some work. But I met up with Tiffany Ferg, who is an absolute delight. And again, I got really drunk. We went to this place called Sweet Chick that does good like vegan and vegetarian options for Tiffany. I got chicken and waffles. I also... Guys, so there was like... Jack said they were NYU students behind me. So first of all, the guy asked me like what I'm eating. And I told him exactly what it was. It was chicken waffles, da da da. And then, so I stand up. So what I'm wearing is I have my Halloween costume underneath my outfit, but my outfit was these trousers and I was wearing like a blue button-up shirt just to like cover up, you know. It was very androgynous, if I say so myself. So this guy asks me, he's like, I love your accent and I love your costume. Guys, I was not wearing my costume yet. I still cannot believe it. I still cannot believe that that happened to me. It was just my clothes. It was just my clothes. Oh my goodness, guys. So I immediately go, my costume. And I was like, these are my normal clothes. And his friends, he was like, and then we ended up talking anyway, because he said that he used to live in Malabar. And I was like, okay, rich. And yeah, basically it was, I like still can't believe that that happened to me. It was very funny. And to be fair, in his defense, I was wearing like these pentagram earrings, like, which by the way, they were from Spirit and they gave me a fucking ear infection. My ears have finally recovered enough to put normal earrings in, but oh my God, I got like a really bad ear infection in my ear piercing hole. So like maybe he was referring to that, but like I could not believe that that happened to me. And at first I said to Jack, I was like, was that a prank? Like, was I being pranked? And then he was like, no, like, I think he was just trying to flirt with you, which like choose another way. Oh my God. It was humiliating. Actually, it wasn't. It was very, very funny. And then we went out for Halloween, had lots of fun. And then on Wednesday I was hungover, but Wednesday was my last day and I decided to go to Central Park. Guys, we went on the most beautiful blue skies, like orange, red leaves. It was literally like a movie. It was literally like a movie. Like, it was just the most beautiful day. We were going to get bikes, but we couldn't figure out how to do it. And then Jack refused to get a boat with me. It was just me and Jack in Central Park. But it was like we went down a really beautiful route. I kept having to take pictures of everything because it was just so beautiful. Again, it was just magical. It was just magical. Like, I just could not believe it. And yeah, no, I literally had like the best time in Central Park. And then we went to the Met steps. I sat on the steps that Jason Derulo fell down. Ah! Sorry if this is like such like a repet, like this is, I did this and then I did this and then I did this. I don't know how else to tell this story. You know, like I didn't vlog it or anything. Eleanor vlogged it though. So it'll be up on Eleanor's channel, I'm sure soon. But yeah, it was actually just like the most magical time. And then we went to John's Pizza. Pizza was so good. And then we went to a speakeasy, guys. We went to a real speakeasy. It was above a five, guys. The cocktails there were really good. I think I'm finally getting into like strong cocktails that don't just taste like passion fruit. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm maturing. I'm growing up. I had like a margarita, like, and not just a margarita from Margaritaville, a real margarita, you know? But yeah, and then we ended it on a drag show. And then we got in at like 2 a.m, had to pack my suitcase, had about 3 hours sleep. But it was really, really good. I had a really, really good time. And I honestly, like, I'm absolutely going to go back. Like, it was just such a magical city. And I already miss Madison and Jack so much. And I've invited Madison to stay with me around Lem's birthday so she can come to Cross the Tracks, which is this festival in Brixton that I really want to go to again next year. We went for Lem's birthday last year and it was just so good. Is there anything else to tell you guys? The only other thing that I have written down, oh, I did forget to tell you guys, song I'm listening to, book I'm reading, but oh well. If you're curious to know, the songs I'm listening to, what songs am I listening to? I've been listening to a lot of, I've been listening to Wolf Alice, Delete the Kisses, I've also been listening to Love Will Tear Us Apart. You know when you hear something in a movie and it just like really, really hits the spot? And anything else? The rom-com up LV, Girls the Dare. Those are the songs I've been listening to. And the books, I haven't actually been reading anything. My ADHD has been so bad. I've actually got an ADHD assessment booked in February that I'm really excited for. Paying £1,300 for it. So better be worth it. I better get on some crazy good medication. I thought the note that I would finish this on is that I have beef with my Adidas Sambas, guys. So my mum got me a pair of Adidas Sambas for my birthday. Love them. Are they a basic shoe? Yeah, sure. But they look good and that's what's important. So I had an Adidas Sam. Oh shit, is it half? Oh no, it's 3:30. Oh my God, sorry. I've got to leave at 4 because I want to catch Susie's pop up. So I wore the Adidas Sambas around New York. By the way, guys, when I got the subway by myself and I had my music playing and I was going across the Williamsburg Bridge, like, it was amazing. And the sun was shining. The sky was blue. The subways are air conditioned. Did you guys know? Okay, so something that I did not know that Jack's flatmate Dan told me was that the London Underground is not air conditioned because it's so deep underground that there's nowhere for the hot air to go other than in the stations. And like, then it would just be unbearable. So that's why the London Underground is so hot. So now I'm like, you know what? Like, fair enough. Like, maybe I'll allow the London Underground a little bit. But then also, it's no fucking excuses for the buses to be so hot. What's that excuse? I just think that this country and this government is lazy when it comes to infrastructure. But yeah, no, so, oh my God, going across the Williamsburg Bridge on the J Line, like, it was magical. What was I saying? Oh yeah, I have beef with Adidas Sambas because why have you got to break them in? They were giving me blisters. They provided very little arch support. Not good for milling around a city. I had to put my bloody Uggs on at one point. Milling around a city in Uggs. Who knew that Uggs would be my go-to comfy shoe? Uggs are ridiculously comfy though. But yeah, I thought I would finish this episode here. I had so much fun catching up with you guys. And I'll see you guys next week for another episode. Make sure you give us some love, whatever podcast platform you listen on. Thank you guys so much, actually, for your ongoing support. I really, really appreciate it. And I'll see you soon for another episode. Bye.